Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. What a blessing it's already been just being in the Lord's house. I trust that you have sensed the Lord's presence in this place. You've already been ministered to through music, and what powerful messages and song today. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd look with me to the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 10. 2 Corinthians in chapter 10. This is a few verses here in this chapter I use quite often in just trying to help people and counseling them in certain times in their lives when they're struggling with things. This is powerful truth, especially verses 3 through 5. But we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 6 and actually be preaching on verse 6 this morning. But if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 through 6. The Bible says, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." And then verse 6. "And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience, when your obedience is fulfilled." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning, we again thank you for this opportunity to be in church. Thank you for all that are here that have taken advantage of that opportunity. And I pray, God, that you would meet with us in a very special way in the next few minutes as we study this passage of Scripture to receive out of these verses that truth that each and every one of us have need of. I pray, God, this morning that you would give each one that ear to hear what you have to say to them. Pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. A readiness to revenge all disobedience. A readiness to revenge all disobedience. Can I say this morning, I believe probably everyone here can think of a time that you wish you could go back to and do things differently. Everyone here has a past, no doubt about it. Everyone has a past. As we look back in our past, sometimes we block certain things out that we don't want to think about, we don't want to remember. But if there would be an opportunity to go back and to do things differently, I don't think there's anyone here that would not say, yes, there's something that I wish I could go back and do differently. Possibly to make right or wrong. Have you ever done something wrong? If you've hurt somebody or did something that caused pain in somebody else's life or whatever, and then afterwards you just felt like, wow, I wish I could change that. You can't go back and change that. But no doubt if we could, we would want to go back and possibly make right or wrong. Paul, under the inspiration of God, was writing to the church at Corinth. And there were some in the church that needed to get right with God because the things they were doing in the church was actually destroying the church. And it was bringing a reproach to the cause of Christ. In 1 Corinthians, his first letter, in chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul says, "It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you." This is those that claim to be saved, claim to be born-again believers and in the church, and yet they had a different life outside the church. And even within the church membership, there were things going on that should not have been going on, that others would know about, that was bringing a reproach to the cause of Christ. And so Paul writes to the church and he says it's commonly reported certain things taking place. And then as we see in the second letter here, especially in verse 10, Paul is addressing some that are doing things that they needed to make right. In verse 2, he says this. He says, "But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with the confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some." So when I come, I'm going to be bold. I'm going to address some things that are not going to be very easily addressed, and it's going to be hurtful to some, but it's needful. I am going to be bold towards some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh, not respecting the Word of God, and Paul being an apostle that spoke the Word of God and telling them that this is wrong behavior. This is what God expects. This is right. This is wrong behavior. Paul realized that, and in verse 5, I'm sorry, if you look down at verse 8, he says, "For though I should I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed." And Paul was saying that he had an apostleship. And because he was an apostle, this was before the apostolic age, was before the completion of the New Testament, before the completion of the full revelation of God. And God would speak through the apostles. And Paul actually spoke the very words of God to the people. And so he says, the authority that I have is God has called me to be an apostle. And as God is speaking through me, he says, I have the authority, whether you understand or not, what I am presenting is the Word of God. And I have the authority to be able to come and present this. And so Paul is presenting this to those, the church at Corinth. And he's trying to help them to understand that what they were doing, some of the things needed to be corrected. And those that have been doing things that cause this reproach of Christ need to ought to want to go back and make right what they had wronged. As we get control of our minds and realize what the will of God is, and that's what he basically says in verse 5, and he says this is a spiritual warfare. The life that we live here on this earth, it's not all about flesh and blood. It's really spiritual battles being fought. When you understand the purpose of humanity, when you understand the Creator God and the Word of God and all the things that are taking place, you understand this is temporary, that there is an eternity ahead of all of us. There's an eternity in a place of damnation, and there's an eternity in a place of heaven. And we know that to be true. And so everything that takes place on this earth, they're spiritual battles. There always has been. So since the very beginning with Adam and Eve, and God said, this is my will for your life. And Satan come into the picture and spiritual warfare. And that's what Paul says. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And then in verse 5, he says, casting down imaginations. He said, realize that your mind is going to be a battleground for all spiritual activity. And if you're not careful, then Satan can put suggestions and he can deceive you and he can put lies in your mind. And you have to get your mind and the imagination of the mind under control, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity. That means controlling our thoughts, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. As we get control of our minds and realize what the will of God is, then he says in verse 6, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience. Once we understand the will of God and we get control of our minds and we understand the spiritual battles that are taking place in our life, we ought to be ready to revenge all disobedience. Revenge all disobedience. Now, the first thing he says about this is having a readiness. Again, he wants to edify the church. He wants to help the believers. He wants to strengthen the church. But he says, having a readiness. Paul was ready to help them. And when he come there, he was going to help those. And he was going to address the things that need to be addressed. But were they ready? And would they be ready? That was the first question. A readiness. Until a person is ready, can I tell you? You will not change. I think dieting is an excellent example of this. Many times we say that we're going to go on a diet, and sometimes that is encouraged by somebody else to put you on a diet. My wife tries to put me on a diet all the time. She says, you're getting fat and you need to... Not really. And you might say, yes, I'm going to go on a diet. And you're really doing it because somebody else wants you to do it. And when that happens, and I think that everyone that's ever said I'm going to go on a diet but was not ready for a diet can understand this, because when others are around that are going to check on you, you eat differently. But when they're not around, you have a stash. You hide candy bars in places where when you get away from them, I can go to that candy bar and I can go to this and go to this, and you have a hidden stash. Or if you're out driving on your own before you go home, you stop by the drive-up window and you order French fries, amen, a hamburger, cheeseburger, a double with everything on it. And you pig out before you go home, amen. And you go home and says, yeah, we're on a diet. What are we going to have today? Now, usually when that takes place, it's because you are not ready to diet. And you might say that you're dieting, but then you're gaining weight. It's a sure giveaway. When you're gaining weight, listen to me, there's something wrong here. You're not dieting. And it usually comes out. They had to be ready. Paul's writing to the church. He wants them to be ready when he gets there, because he's going to address some things and he's going to help them. He's going to edify them. But if they're not ready, he won't be able to help them. What's it going to take for God to get us ready? To do what God wants us to do. Being ready begins with the knowledge of God and His will. And that's from verse 5. The knowledge of God, bringing every thought to the obedience. Understanding what God would have us to do, and then being able to control my mind and say, I am going to focus on God's will for my life, and I'm not going to let my imagination get carried away, and I'm not going to be thinking about what I want. I am going to focus on the will of God and His word, and I'm ready to just be what God wants me to be. I'm ready to do what God wants me to do. I'm ready to accomplish the things that God has me here to accomplish in this life. I don't know where you're at right now in your spiritual life. But are you ready to do something about it? Because until you get ready, no matter what's going on, you're not going to do something about it. You might say, I'm going to go to church. And you might even be in church today. But you're not here because you're ready to receive what God has for you. You're not here because you're ready to start growing in the understand the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You're here because somebody else wants you to be here. And when you show up to church, praise the Lord, there might be something that God will do in church. You have a better opportunity for God to get your attention under the preaching of the Word of God than out in the world. And so, praise the Lord that you're in church, but if you're not really ready, it's going to be very difficult to edify you, to help you, to be able to receive what God has for you, that which you have need of that will strengthen you to change your life. God knows that too, and that's why God takes us through different trials, and God allows certain things to come into our lives, because God's going to work to try to get you ready. Are you ready to do something about your walk with God? Are you ready to do something about your failed marriage? Are you ready to do something about your finances? Are you ready to do something about your health? Amen. I don't know where you might be. You might be struggling with your health today. Are you ready to do something different? Are you ready to do what God would have you to do to try to strengthen your body, your health? Are you ready to do something to get out of that financial pressure and stress that you're under. There's a reason that you're where you're at in your finances. And sometimes Satan will use that to destroy. Satan will use that to oppress. And he's able to use that finances or something. The pressures that are brought on by finances can destroy a marriage. It can hinder a family. It can do so much. But we get ourselves into that mess. It's a result of not living within our means. It's a result of whatever it might be, but are you ready to do something about it? God says, I want to help you here, but you have to get my word, my message in your heart and your mind, and you got to start doing things my way. And when you do it my way, I can help you to overcome that, but you have to be ready. If you're not ready, you might say, we're going to seek financial counsel. And we're going to try, and you're wanting somebody else to fix your problems, and that's not going to happen. Counsel in and of itself has never fixed anybody's problem. But biblical counsel applied changes everything. Amen. But who determines whether you apply it or not? What's going on with our marriages? What's going on in our families? We come to church and we want to put on somewhat of a false front. Sometimes we want to come and we want everyone else to think that everything is great in this marriage and everything's good in our family and there's nothing wrong and we're just a prim and proper and perfect little Christian family. And everyone in your family knows that's not true. That's really not what we're looking for. It should not be what you're looking for. Can I tell you, it's not God's will for your life just to have an appearance. God says, I want you to have it. I've designed marriage to be a blessing. I've designed children to be a blessing in the home. I've designed these things and I want you to have them, but you have to be ready to do what I tell you to do in order to have these things. Paul says, having a readiness. And then to revenge all disobedience. He was going to address them when he got there, but he wanted them to be ready to revenge all disobedience. Now, seeking revenge against someone who has done us wrong is not God's will. It'll consume you. It will fill your heart with bitterness. It will sidetrack you from doing God's will for your life because I'm seeking revenge. Romans 12 verse 9 says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So that's not what he's not talking about, seeking revenge for somebody that has done you wrong. You might blame somebody for the position that you find yourself in your finances and your marriage and your walk with God or whatever it might be. But listen to me, that's not the case. He says, revenging all disobedience. This is addressing ourselves. He wouldn't be telling you to revenge somebody else, seek revenge on somebody else. No, but it is right. The right thing to do is address ourselves. You know where you've been disobedient. Satan would love to blind you to that. He wants you to block out your errors. He wants you to block out your part in a failed marriage and he wants you to blame it all on the other one. He wants you to block out your part in your finances and blame it on my employer just not paying me well enough. Or whatever else it might be. He would love to have you to block it out in your mind. But in reality, it begins with you. And if you're ready to address that, then you're ready to look within yourself and find out where I've failed, where I've disobeyed. To revenge is to exact punishment or expiation for a wrong. That expiation means to atone for. Basically, to make right a wrong. First step is to acknowledge you're wrong. Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. Let's bring this down to what the Bible says exactly about it and what we need to do. Proverbs in chapter 28. To revenge all disobedience, addressing ourselves to exact punishment or expiation for a wrong, to make right a wrong that I've done. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. What is covering it? Blocking it out. Blame it on somebody else. not willing to acknowledge that you have failed. You have done something wrong. You have not kept the faith. You have not been obedient to the words of God. You have not brought every thought to the obedience of Christ. I'm covering it up. Satan will love to give you an excuse. And blame it on how you were raised. Blame it on your parents. That's what society says to do. Really not your fault. It was the way you were raised. Cover it up. It's not going to help you. Look at society. Has it really helped society to believe the philosophies of the world and do things the way that the world wants you to do things? Has it really helped the idea of even helping teenagers to have safe relations instead of abstinence according to the Word of God? Has it really helped? No, I think it's just escalated the sins and teenage pregnancies, which lead to also more oppression, which lead to teenage deaths and suicides, and on and on and on, doing all kinds of things that destroy their lives. No, it's not helped. It's done nothing but destroy. It's done nothing but hinder the will of God for people's lives. So you can cover it up. But God says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. It's not what you need to do. It's not going to help you. But if you're ready, whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And then verse 14, happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart to God shall fall into mischief. The idea here is avenging all disobedience, and only you know what you have, where you failed. If you will open up to it and say, God, help me to see my failures. God, help me to address my sin. Help me to address my problems. Stop covering it up and stop blaming everybody else for what you have done and confess, saying, Lord, I am guilty. Because ultimately, the Bible says that we each and every one will stand and give an account of ourselves. Parents, you keep excusing away your children's sins, and one day they'll have to stand before God, and you'll not be allowed there to say, oh Lord, don't blame this, and it was my fault, it was their dad's fault, it was their mom's fault. They'll be held accountable. Prepare them for that day. Hold them accountable for their own free will and their own actions. Discipline them as God would have them to be disciplined. If you love them, you'll do that because you're preparing them for life. First step is confess. I'm guilty. Stop looking around for somebody else to blame for your problems, for where you're at today. And then the Bible says forsake. Forsaking is having a sorrow for what you've done and a desire not to ever do it again. I don't want that in my life. I want to first. I don't want it in my life. I never want to go back to that place. I am ready to change. I am ready to go on. I'm ready to put this behind and move toward the will of God for my life. You have to acknowledge what you've done to get where you are. Acknowledge what I've done for me to realize that's what's brought me to where I'm at, and be ready to do something about it. That's revenge. To revenge all disobedience. I'm ready. I don't know what God has done in your life and where He's brought you to. The prodigal was at the very end of his rope. He was there getting ready to eat the husk that the pigs ate. And he came to himself and he says, I'm ready now. How did I ever get to this place? I can see clearly now. I'm ready to acknowledge where I was wrong. I sinned against my Father. I sinned against my God. I've sinned against my own life. I'm going to revenge it. I'm going to do something about it. Amen. Lastly, this morning, do what the Bible says. Become obedient. And having in a readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And amen. You can revenge your disobedience by basically understanding where you've went wrong and what you've done and confess and forsake it. And from this point forward, start doing right. The only way to revenge disobedience is to obey. No matter how disobedient your life has been. No matter how disobedient. No matter what sins you have committed. No matter how far away from God you have strayed. Are you ready to do something about it? To revenge all disobedience? It does not justify your disobedience. You can't justify sin. I'm not talking about justifying. There is no justification for it. Does not justify your disobedience, but it can be revenged. You can look to make right what you've wronged. You can look to atone for your disobedience. Paul, who wrote this to the Corinthian church, learned something. Go back with me and we're going to close with this. In Acts in chapter 9. Before Paul was saved, Paul was one evil individual. One hard-hearted man. He could break up a family, put the mother and father in prison and leave the children to become slaves to whoever would take them in, make them slaves. He was slaughtering the believers thinking he was actually serving God. He had blinded himself to the place thinking that I'm doing the world justice by getting rid of these Christians. Satan had blinded him to the knowledge of God, to having the thoughts of Christ. He had just the opposite. But then on his way to Damascus, when he was threatening, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, that's what the Bible says in Acts chapter 9, verse 1, Christ met him on this road. And the light shone and he realized this was God. Didn't know it was Christ. He knew it was what was taking place had to be something supernatural. This was God Almighty, the creator of all things. He acknowledged that and he said, who art thou? Lord, as in God, who art thou? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. He came to that place to realize that Christ was real. That God is the creator of the world. This Bible has the truths. You come to that place and you realize there is a God. I am a sinner. Jesus died some 2,000 years ago for my sin. You realize how unworthy you are for God to send His only begotten Son to die for you. And you realizing, I don't deserve it, but He wants to forgive me. He wants to cleanse me of my sin. He wants to give me this gift of everlasting life. And all you are required to do is to believe and receive this free gift of everlasting life. He realized this was Jesus. And the Bible says, and he called him Lord, but then he says, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord. Scared to death because he knows what he's done against Christ. He knows all the bad things that he has done up to this point. And he says this, what will you have me to do? Paul himself realized that he was now ready to avenge his disobedience, and he is understanding how disobedient he had been, all the sins that he had committed, all the travesties against humanity, especially against the Creator God. And he's ready to revenge that. And he says, now I know that you're Lord. What will you have? How can I avenge my disobedience? What would you have me to do? Now, I love this because we find in this passage of Scripture, verse 8, and Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. God blinded him for this purpose, I believe. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. After God saved him, he blinded him so that he would not have any other distractions. All he had was what was going on inside of his mind. For 3 days and three nights, he never slept, he never ate, he never drank. He fasted. And for 3 days and three nights, he focused on, how can I avenge my disobedience? And the answer was through obedience. Blinded so as not to be distracted by sight, to decide, where do I go from here? I want to ask you that question, where do you go from here? Where do you go from here in your walk with God? Where do you go from here in concerning your relationships of life? Where do you go from here concerning your finances? Where do you go from here concerning your health? Whatever it might be that you are battling with today, whatever might be going on in your life, listen to me. God wants you to understand something here. Be ready to change your life. And it begins with revenging all disobedience. Realize what got you to where you're at. Be ready to leave here with a readiness to obey. He was obedient from this point the rest of his life. For the rest of his life, from that point, God brought him to this place to prepare him to be ready. As he was ready, he wanted to revenge his disobedience. And he realized in those 3 days that nothing but the mind of Christ and identifying with the mind of Christ and getting his thoughts to be obedient to the thoughts of Christ. And he left here. He left that place to be obedient for the rest of his life. And he accomplished great and mighty things. 14 of the New Testament books of the Bible. God used him mightily. You have to first of all be ready. Maybe ready today. If you are, then avenge your disobedience. Acknowledge it. Confess it. Forsake it. And commit to being obedient, whatever that might be. Can I tell you, it's a spiritual battle. It's not going to be easy, but it's a fight that with God's help, everyone here can win. and it will make a difference. Are you ready to revenge all disobedience? If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. I think back in my own life and what God did and taking my father. Some other things happened to get me ready. I thank God tonight, this morning rather, that once I acknowledge that, confess and forsake and look to revenge my disobedience, I thank God today that I'll never look back. From that moment that I surrendered, rededicated my life, things have been different. And I've experienced the blessings of God upon my life. And I know that anyone else, anyone here can do the very same thing. Are you ready? Do something about it today. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for this example of the Apostle Paul and God, how you allowed him to write your word, your message, to not only the church at Corinth, to this Lighthouse Baptist Church. And as we have preached it this morning, God, no doubt there's many here today that need to receive this. And this morning, do something about it. From this point forward, bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.